I'm your host, Steve Lascalzo, and welcome to a special episode of This Is The Way podcast. It's the 2024 Star Wars Podcast Day episode. What is Star Wars Podcast Day? Well, Daniel of the Star Wars Now This Is Podcasting site reached out to some of the podcasts celebrating Star Wars a few years back with an idea. So if you're listening here, you've most likely heard of Star Wars Day or May the 4th. Of course, we celebrate that too. Daniel's idea was to commemorate those that took the extra step from fandom into providing content. I went back, I looked at the Instagram message that Daniel sent us to invite us to take part in the first one back in 2021. He said, "We want to celebrate and bring attention to the Star Wars fan audio community, similar to May the 4th, but focused on our little section of the fandom." He went on to say, "We chose February 7th because on that day back in 1999, the very first Star Wars podcast premiered. That was Jedi Talk." Now that makes this the 25th anniversary of that first podcast dedicated solely to Star Wars fandom, as far as we can tell. I went online, I looked for information on Jedi Talk, and there is currently a podcast operating under that name, and I checked with Daniel, and he said that this one isn't the original, and there's been another one in the past as well that are not the original. The current one even interviewed one of the original hosts last year for Star Wars podcasting. Now, I'm not making a value judgment on quality of this new one or the one before. I'm just letting you know, it's not run by any of the original crew. I don't think the podcast is very upfront about that. I know they interviewed an original host last year, but they're not very upfront in their Instagram and their story, and that's okay. They can do whatever they want. They picked up that name. They're carrying on a torch, if you want to believe that. But they do seem to get an extra boost on a day like today because we're talking about Jedi Talk. This newer, different Jedi Talk podcast has been around for almost 9 years, so longer than us. But the Jedi Talk that we're celebrating has been off the air, so to speak, for quite some time. So listen or don't to them. Again, no value judgment here. I haven't listened to either this one or the one previous.
Yeah. Good.
Daniel Contreras of Star Wars Podcast Day has been a loyal listener for some time to us, so I very much appreciate that. He's got a Twitter or X feed and an Instagram account at Star Wars Pod Day. You can follow those for sure. More than 100 podcasts are participating, and he told me that if everyone actually does participate, this will be a record-setting year. And This Is The Way podcast is one of them.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
So today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the behind-the-scenes things that made This Is The Way podcast happen, how I grew up a Star Wars fan, stuff that you might have heard over the 149 episodes that have already aired, and this, the 150th, that make podcasting about Star Wars something that's important to me. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm the best podcaster. I do have more broadcast experience than probably 99% of the other Star Wars podcasts that are out there. And that doesn't mean that everything has always been perfect. If you go back and you look or you listen at the first few episodes of this podcast, even someone like me who has a lot of broadcast experience didn't account for all of the things that had to go into making podcasts sound as good as some of the other people have been able to do. They did their research. I relied a lot on my training, which was for TV. So there were no cameras in the first, and there still is no camera on our podcast, right? I do now put it on YouTube, and that was a suggestion from my wife's hairdresser, I think, shared with me through my wife. She said, you know, he listens to a lot of podcasts on YouTube. So that was an innovation that had nothing to do with my school education, my training in broadcast journalism. That was something that came about organically through my wife. So I am a Star Wars baby. I was born in 1977, not in May, but later in the year. So I am as old as A New Hope, or just Star Wars as it was called back then, of course. I don't remember seeing Empire Strikes Back in the movie theater. I don't have a clear memory of it. In fact, the first memory I can remember about a movie theater was, I think, my dad and I going to see E.T. in the theater. That was the first movie that I can remember seeing in the movies. So it wasn't even a Star Wars movie. But I definitely remembered the entire evening surrounding seeing Return of the Jedi for the first time. I mean, we went up to Burger King. I think we even got Burger King Star Wars Return of the Jedi glasses. If you know what I'm talking about there, then yeah, you've been a Star Wars fan for a long time. I just always gravitated towards Luke Skywalker because of the purity that existed, at least as I saw it, in the original trilogy, of this farm boy who learns that actually you have a greater purpose, and he uses it for good. He uses it to save his friends. He uses it because he believes wholeheartedly that there is good in this evil person who is his father. There's just something amazing about that. Even if you're not a Christian, which I now am, and have been for many years, but there's just something amazing in the purity that existed in the character of Luke Skywalker, at least as I saw it. Now, hopefully that gives you an idea of why the sequel trilogy falls so flat with me. Not all of it. I really enjoyed The Force Awakens. I was very excited for the future of Star Wars after that movie, even though I had problems with it. At that time, I was listening to and watching on YouTube a lot of the Jedi Council podcast. I think it was through AMC or Collider, something like that. It was really when I started getting interested in podcasts about Star Wars. I had been listening to the first podcast I can remember listening to was, I think, MuggleNet. And it was when I got a computer when I was working in television. And I used to try to listen to things, different things, late at night. It was before I actually became a Christian. So after I became a Christian, I started listening to a lot more religious podcasts like Dr. David Jeremiah. And at the time, Ravi Zacharias, before anybody knew of his issues. I listened to a lot. Alistair Begg, another great one. If you're interested in listening to some podcasts about being a Christian. But I remember listening to MuggleNet. And I don't remember when podcasts became a thing. I know that Jedi Talk, starting in 1999, means it predated my experiences with podcasts. But back then, I had a professional career as a sports broadcaster. And the last thing I wanted to do when I got home was work on even an audio-only version of a podcast. But I was still talking Star Wars. In fact, when the new series started coming out, I'm sorry, not the new series, when the prequels were coming out, I found out that there were a couple of other big fans in our television station. The weather guy, there was somebody in production, and actually someone in production ripped The Revenge of the Sith, and so I had a DVD copy before the movie even came out. So that was back in the day when, but you know, before people really understood BitTorrenting and things like that, well, this guy in production understood it. And so I have an illegal copy of Revenge of the Sith. I didn't know how he got it or that it was illegal. He's just like, here is a copy of the movie. And we were even then we were like, is this really the real thing? I don't think I watched it until I saw it in the movie theater. But Star Wars was so important to me that I didn't throw this thing away. I didn't destroy it, but I also, you know, I wanted to experience the movie first in the theater. I can remember going to Target with one of the guys, the weather guy, Tom, and he was giving me pointers. He's like, all right, so buy this version of this toy, but don't ever take it out of the, it's because it's got a zero in the barcode or something like that. It's the first edition toys. So buy these toys, put them in somewhere in a locker and never open them. And then years from now, they'll be worth something. Well, I think probably everybody did the same thing. So I have a few toys, like a Mace Windu and some other toys, never opened. They'll sit in a box somewhere and just stay there. Hopefully other people haven't done the same thing. And maybe in 20 or 30 years, I'll have something valuable to sell. But I don't, that's not why I bought them necessarily, but and I've been tempted to take the toys out and play with them, but I just felt always that there was this connection, even as an adult, to my childhood. I grew up playing with the Star Wars toys. Now, we abused them. My brother, sister, and I, we took them outside, buried them in the sand, you know, rinsed them off with a hose, and then put them back. They're in not great shape. I couldn't tell you if there's original accessories with the toys. I just know that we did not treat these toys well because I was involved playing with these toys with every other toy. Transformers, He-Man, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all of those toys became characters, alien characters or whatever, in my Star Wars adventures. To the point where we had like a Castle Grayskull that was basically the Death Star for me. We didn't have the Death Star. We didn't have a Millennium Falcon. I didn't have an X-Wing. My brother had a B-Wing and I had a Y-Wing. But those were because those were the cheaper toys. An X-Wing was very expensive. Well, the Y-Wing wasn't as expensive. So that's what I got for Christmas, was a Y-Wing. Even though they're featured very briefly in the original trilogy. But I treated it, that was Luke Skywalker's Y-Wing, you know what I mean? And I was fine with that. I really loved playing with those toys, and it was a formative thing for me. This was before I was introduced even to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but well before I knew about The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. So Star Wars, for me, is at the center of my sci-fi, fantasy, everything that I love, like Star Trek, or at least like the Next Generation, and Strange New Worlds. I like those things. I didn't so much like the first couple seasons of Picard, and I didn't watch Discovery. I didn't watch Deep Space Nine. I can't even tell you what the show is. I didn't watch Battlestar Galactica. I didn't watch a lot of other things, not because they were like Star Wars or bad ripoffs of Star Wars. It's just Star Wars is the greatest for me. So anything else kind of pales in comparison. But I still like other things. I still like The Lord of the Rings. And I don't like the Rings of Power show. Okay, I love Star Wars. I like The Mandalorian a lot. It's my favorite live-action Star Wars television show. I despise The Last Jedi. I think it ruins Luke Skywalker. And if you understand that, like, I love Luke Skywalker and what the character meant for me growing up. And even through the prequels, right? Because the prequels did not have anything to say about Luke Skywalker. Well, now, people at Disney decided that we should destroy Luke's character. We should grow past it. And a lot of people have their opinions on that. And you're allowed to love what they did with The Last Jedi. But I think it's not just a bad Star Wars movie. I think it's a bad movie. And I think people for some reason try to defend it more. For some reason, I don't understand why, but it's not a great story. It's not a great treatment of the characters. And I mean, I loved The Force Awakens. I was very, very excited about the future of Star Wars back then. But never was I a bigger fan than when I was growing up. So I have that formative, childhood experience loving Star Wars. And then I go to school. I become a good baseball player. So I figure in my mind, I'm going to go to school and be a broadcaster, and I'm going to do ESPN after I have a long career in professional baseball. And that didn't happen. Well, I still loved sports. And at that time, sports were a much bigger part of my life, in late high school, early college. And then I had some personal relationships that soured me on different aspects, and Star Wars was, remember, this is a time when Star Wars in college is when they had the re-releases, and I went to those movies and I loved Star Wars, but it just didn't feel like I connected. And this is, again, the original trilogy re-released, so it was in my wheelhouse, but I didn't have this reawakening or this calling. The Force didn't awaken inside me until later, until I was trying to be a creative person on my own, until sports was starting to sour for me, or the television business, let's say that. Not, you know, I still like sports, but the television business was becoming really, there's no conspiracy. There's no left-wing conspiracy in television. What is happening in television, in the television industry, is there are a lot of left-leaning people who are seeking that as a job. And I think always there has been this liberal mindset to journalism. And even back then, I was probably more left-leaning than, definitely more left-leaning than I am now. But I started to see the quality of the people that were coming in. And when I say quality of people, I don't mean their skill. I mean why they were doing what they were doing. And I hated it. It felt dirty, felt gross. Some of the people would say to your face that they're in it for XYZ reason, but they really weren't. They were in it with an agenda. And so there's no conspiracy. That's just that's just the attraction of that business. There are certainly conservatives still getting jobs and still seeking out employment, but it's becoming less and less. It's not a very, it's like teaching in that unless you're at a really high level, unless you got a cushy tenure job as a professor somewhere, you are probably not enjoying the teaching or the benefits of teaching as much as you are actually the teaching part. Television is much the same way. If you're a sports anchor, there are a dime a dozen. Everybody wants to be a sports anchor. Everybody wants to be a weather anchor. Everybody wants to be a news anchor, reporters, in the business. But the pay isn't always great for the amount of work that you're expected to do. And it follows you home. And so I really sought, when I would go home at the end of the day, I sought to do anything else. So I was very into some new video games. I had never had a PlayStation, and I bought a PlayStation 2 when I was in television so that I could have a gaming system, but also a DVD player. And so I bought movies all the time, like from the $5 bin at Best Buy, and it greatly expanded my I had to have cable TV back then because I was on TV, and so I needed to be able to keep track of other stations. But then there were times when you'd have free movies, and I would buy VHS. This is back when VHS tapes were still a thing, and I would VHS copy movies even that I didn't like. I just would set the automatic timer for my VHS. Had an automatic timer where it worked with the cable system that I can't remember what it was. Not Grounded Communications. It was it Cox? I don't remember. But and so I taped and watched movies that I never would have considered watching if I hadn't had that capability to just set and I went through. Oh man, there is a bucket in my garage right now. Filled like a Sterlite container, a large Sterlite container filled, and it would tape. I could get like three movies onto each VHS, and that thing is filled with movies. And they're all different. You know, I don't have multiple copies of so hundreds of movies, and we're talking like French films with dubbed dialogue. It just really weird, strange television shows and movies that were on these movie channels way back then. And it really started making me think, okay, maybe I need to create something. So I started writing. I wrote, this was back before the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. I wrote like another movie in the Spider-Man series where he is unmasked at the end. And I don't remember who the villains were off the top of my head in that one. But I can remember years later seeing you know, the Tom Holland Spider-Man. And there were aspects of my script, not completely, but there were aspects of my script in there, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this was probably the right path to go down. Like, maybe I should have tried harder to become a writer, you know, a TV or a movie writer. But I still haven't finished any novels. I start and stop because I get bored with it. So, you know, I don't know if that's my path, and I'm just... maybe I'm resisting that transition somehow, not consciously, but subconsciously. But Star Wars has always been, like, sometimes I reread something and I'm like, man, this is too much like this storyline from Star Wars. There's something inside me that gravitates towards that story of the friends coming together, and then the son believing so much in the father, and the redemption story of Vader. And that really colors my opinion on the new Star Wars content. There are aspects of it that I love. There are parts of Ahsoka that I liked a lot. I didn't much like Obi-Wan Kenobi at all. I liked it at the beginning. Same thing with the Book of Boba Fett. At the beginning, I thought this is going to be the greatest TV show, greatest Star Wars TV show. He is recontextualizing the Tusken Raiders. It was amazing for me until it wasn't. And they even brought in Luke Skywalker, who I love, and he was more like Luke Skywalker than he was in the sequel trilogy, and I still had issues with that show. Yes, there is a big hill for Star Wars creators to climb to get me to really fall in love with something. And I think it has a lot to do with the treatment of Luke Skywalker because it is my favorite character. I understand that some people love Luke Skywalker and they love what they did to him in the sequel trilogy. I just don't. And I don't think there's such a thing as too much Luke, Leia, and Han. But they've gone down the path with Rise of Skywalker. They've announced new movies. There are new TV shows coming out. For me, though, it was the first trailer of The Mandalorian that was available to the public. Now, I didn't see the trailer when it was at Star Wars Celebration, wherever it was, Comic-Con. I didn't attend, and I didn't see it then. It was later when it became available online that I was like, I have to do something. I have to talk about Star Wars. And there really was nowhere else for me to talk. I know there were other Star Wars podcasts because I've heard and I've seen through social media that, oh, this so-and-so podcast is celebrating 6 years. And obviously that predates The Mandalorian. But when The Mandalorian was coming out, I started talking to all of my friends. And now I'm an adult and I have children at this point. But I knew that I was like, I can't sit by. I cannot sit by and let this show go on without talking about it regularly. And I thought the best way for me to do that is to start a podcast. I said, then I will have people who will listen to me because they want to listen, they want to hear about this new Star Wars show. But also, I'm going to have an excuse to talk to a friend. So I talked to a few different people and they're like, I'm more of a Marvel fan. But then I found my friend, and you'll know him from the podcast early episodes, Tim, and he agreed to do it with me. So we came up with a name, a catcher and keeper, because I was a catcher in baseball and he was a goalkeeper in soccer. And so we started out, it's the Catcher and Keeper podcast. Well, that was short-lived. As a matter of fact, very first episode I set to talk with him about it, he invited another friend, Andy, who was a pastor at the time at our church, to take part with us. And I said, I was like, I only have two microphones. I don't know what we're going to do. So I went out to Walmart and bought an omnidirectional microphone and set it in the middle. Turned out to be a terrible mistake. I should have stuck with a two microphone and just made him and Andy switch off or something. But that's what I did. I went and bought an omnidirectional mic, and it sounded like we were in a shower. I think someone reviewed poorly on Apple podcast reviews because I had prepared for one thing and then was thrown a curveball at the last minute. Well, it turned out that was a really fun experience, and having three people give their opinions, I really valued their opinions about Star Wars because they were different than mine. And I thought, this is so cool. This is going to work out real great. And we had great listenership in the early goings. I was able to try a few things. We did watch-alongs where we would watch and comment organically about the shows and each episode that we were listening to. And it really felt like, man, this is igniting something in me about Star Wars that I didn't know, that I didn't even think could happen. I was really falling back in love with Star Wars. And I think this was before The Last Jedi, right? Or was it before the Rise of Skywalker? I can't remember in my brain. The Last Jedi, my dad and I, my wife was home with our newest child, our most recent child, as an infant when The Last Jedi came out. So my dad went with me to that movie, and we both, the entire movie theater, hated the movie. There was groaning, there was shouting, there was just like, I can't believe, people were spoiling the movie. Walking out of the movie theater, people were spoiling, like, it's the worst thing ever. I mean, it was really strange to have that experience where everyone around me was, this movie is awful, and then going online and seeing how many people were like, oh no, it's the greatest movie ever, Rian Johnson can do no wrong. It was a very strange experience for me. Fast forward to, I think it was season two of The Mandalorian, where The Rise of Skywalker was coming out. Yeah, no, it was season one. Because Grogu does the healing thing, I went to see Rise of Skywalker, and Rey does the healing thing, so that set that up. There was a difference of opinions, and I don't think that was what started to have Tim and Andy want to they just weren't as excited as I was about Star Wars. So they went and did their own thing. They didn't want to, I know Tim for sure didn't want to make a time commitment. In order to record together, I was driving up 30 minutes to his house, and sitting in his office late at night. And I think it really kind of put a strain on him and his family because we needed quiet time, you know, after bedtime for his son, and his wife had to work the next day. And so it really was putting a strain on him. And Andy left the church, and I think he just had a different idea about what he wanted to do. So that was really a big loss for this podcast because I valued having other people's input, but I remain committed. I still make the notes. There was a time when someone tried to take the This Is The Way podcast name from us, and I emailed them and I said, hey, I'm not sure if you're aware, but we were here first. And so I resolved to, I'm going to do a weekly or a monthly news update to keep the show current and show name current. And then I branched out into doing some animated shows like Visions and recapping the Bad Batch. But at the heart of it has always been The Mandalorian and the live action shows. And I think those still, for me, get me excited about Star Wars because they're the most like the movies, the original trilogy movies, for me. I did love the prequels. I'm sure I saw Phantom Menace the most out of any Star Wars movie in the movie theater. I saw it at least 27 times, probably north of 30. And it was just because it was, at that time, it was new Star Wars for me. It was new. It was exciting. There was so much promise in the prequels, and my friend loved Qui-Gon Jinn, and we could go and see dollar movies, you know, so you could go see the movie again and again for not too much money. Now movie tickets are like 10 bucks a piece at least for the lowest quality screening, and that's like a matinee as well. So movie going has, you know, my wife and I just went and saw the movie Argylle, and it was a fun movie, but it was not very good. I liked The Rise of Skywalker much more than I liked The Last Jedi, but I still didn't love it enough to go see it more than twice in the movie theater. I just feel like Star Wars is dying with Disney. I hate Disney's policies. I see a lot on social media, people making fun of Gina Carano and just ridiculing people who say that The Last Jedi is terrible. I just wonder what these people's lives are like if that's their opinion. And you know, I get called out for my opinions, but I'm as real a Star Wars fan as they come. I'm not going to compare myself to someone else individually. But if you were to say, like, are you a true Star Wars fan? I don't think there are many people who could say I'm a bigger fan. They're a bigger fan than me. That doesn't mean I'm the best fan. That doesn't mean that my opinion is the only one that matters. But I've got a podcast and I've got a voice. And that's one of the reasons I love doing the Star Wars podcast, is because I get to talk for 30 minutes, 30 plus minutes, about why I like Star Wars and what Star Wars means to me. So when I get on Google Docs and I write up my notes, and then I set apart a time, like today when my wife is out to breakfast with her friends, to sit down and record, I know that these are my unfiltered opinions. Sometimes I do go back and filter them, but they're my unfiltered opinions. And I'm just hoping, I guess, that I guess I am hoping that my opinions do sway someone else who may not be as big a fan as me. Again, I'm not comparing myself to that person individually. This is a hypothetical. This is an imaginary person that maybe is listening to social media, Star Wars social media, and they're swayed by some of these loud, angry people who have one idea about what Star Wars should mean, and it's this new Disney idea where it's where inclusivity, or what is called inclusivity, is the most important thing, and not telling good stories about people who do want to do good. It's there was a time when being an Imperial was like, that was cool. Like, oh, you know what? The Imperials are really just misunderstood. And I always hated that. I was like, these are Nazis in space, and I don't want to sympathize with Nazis in space. You know? Star Wars has really changed under Disney. And you can like it. You're allowed to. But I hate it. I think it's terrible. And, you know, at first, when Disney was first announced, I think I was like everyone else. Was like, let's just wait and see. Or with most of the people. There were some people who were like, I hate this. This is going to ruin Star Wars. And I think that's way too early to make an assumption about that. But I think the experiment, having been going for as long as it has, through the sequel trilogies, through the Disney Plus era, I think Disney is taking it down the wrong path. Whoever's leading Lucasfilm, they have an agenda that doesn't fit with mine, which is okay, but the stories really now are not, that they're to suit their agenda rather than tell good Star Wars stories. Or maybe just the people they have there, maybe they're just terrible at their job. Maybe they're just terrible at telling stories. Would I be better? I think I would be better than some of these storytellers at Lucasfilm. But that doesn't mean I would be. I really feel like Star Wars is going down the wrong path. So if you're listening to This Is The Way podcast and you're noticing less engagement, less involvement, less excitement, that is probably why. It's because there's only so much good that I can find in Star Wars, because it's not like it was with the original trilogy or even the prequel trilogy. I feel like the stories are second now, and it's more character-driven than story-driven. And if you're gonna be character-driven, I feel like you have to have a good story behind that character. But it's backward. It's like, here's Ahsoka. She can do no wrong. Or here's Sabine, and we're gonna change her character completely from Rebels. She's totally different from now from when she's in Rebels. Oh, you didn't know she is Force-sensitive? Or not Force-sensitive, but everybody can be Force-sensitive. And I think it's an overused quote, but I think it fits here with Star Wars. It's Syndrome's quote from The Incredibles. You know, if everybody's super, then no one will be. And I think if you really make that the focus for Star Wars, where everybody can use the Force, everybody is Force sensitive, you just have to try hard enough, that might sound like a good story, right? But we don't watch Harry Potter to watch the Muggles. We watch Harry Potter because Harry Potter can do magic, right? You don't hear and focus on the stories of the people who can't do magic. I think it's the same thing about Star Wars for me. I love Andor is one of the best made shows out there. Andor is terrific. The writing is fantastic. The characters are awesome. The story is compelling. And you don't have Jedi. But those are far and few between. Those shows are far and few between. There's only going to be one more season of Andor, and Tony Gilroy is leading it. But he's not announced to do a movie or anything. And I don't even think he wants to do a movie in Star Wars. I know he helped with Rogue One, and I think the movie was better for it. I just don't think that Star Wars has a bright future anymore. I think I know they've always had to sell figures and things like that. And the merchandising, of course, was a big part of why Star Wars was so successful, is because the toys were out there. And I remember the bargain bins at Sears and JCPenney, where my parents could pick up figures we didn't even remember from the movies, but it was a Star Wars figure, and we could get one for cheap. And then again, as many Star Wars figures as we had, we played with other toys in the Star Wars universe, you know, Mask and Transformers, became vehicles and characters in the Star Wars universe for us while we were playing. So we were telling stories as children for ourselves that were adjacent to the Star Wars universe. We never violated what we knew from the Star Wars universe in our stories. You know, it was like they gave us a blueprint and we followed the blueprint mostly and told our own stories. It feels like Star Wars really wants to wipe everything out and tell just their stories. Ones that they think are tried and true. And they are, you know, very reminiscent of other stories. It's like Avatar being a lot like, there's other movies that people like in the story of Avatar, too. I think Star Wars does do that because it's Disney and Disney thinks we got to tell this story and this story. And they're trying to do this liberal, they're trying to brainwash children, I think, into thinking that, yeah, it's okay to be bad. You know, there's a reason why this person is bad and it's okay. You just have to understand why they're doing these bad things. And I just didn't like it. That wasn't the original trilogy for me. It was Luke Skywalker is pure of heart and he cares about his friends and the Empire is evil because they're killing look what Vader did to his officers and how indiscriminately and how they didn't care about the people who were stormtroopers and they didn't, they would crush rebellions for the sake of whatever. You know, we didn't know why they were so mean and so terrifying. We just knew that they were. Well, now that's all gone away. Now it's, we want to contextualize. And I understand. I am a grown up and I like a fictional, you know, but people are grown up and they watch other shows and other movies, and we don't criticize them for liking those shows and movies. It just seems like, oh, you like this kid show. And I vehemently oppose the idea that George always intended it only for children. I don't care what he says. I mean, you can look at the evidence. It's not just for children. Any more than any other story that's ever been told is only for children and only... And if Lucasfilm and Disney are only telling stories just for children, then the stories they're telling are terrible ones. And the lessons that they're trying to teach then are terrible ones. Not all bad, not completely bad. Like it's not like I can not find, there's always something you can find that is good in any, even Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I think is the worst television show of Star Wars, a live action television show. There's still good things I think you can find in that, but it's getting weaker and weaker, except for Andor, which I think was fantastic from start to finish. I just don't think Star Wars has a bright future. And I know that's not probably what you want to hear when you're coming for a Star Wars Podcast Day episode. But that's my opinion. And hopefully you understand a little bit more now about where I come from. So if you see me talking about how bad Last Jedi is, you know why. At least you know why now. It's because I love like Luke Skywalker, and Luke Skywalker was treated poorly. And if you have a different opinion about that, that's okay, but you are wrong. Okay, they changed Luke Skywalker. And that's okay. You can disagree with me. But if your first impulse is to call me a name or say I'm stupid, well, then hopefully you understand then why you're wrong about that. You know, this is not an emotional thing for me. It is a value judgment. I think Last Jedi is the worst thing to ever happen to Star Wars. Rian Johnson should never be allowed to walk in the building again at Lucasfilm. Not because he's a terrible human being, which I do also think he is, but just because that's the attitude and that is the mindset that's leading Star Wars down the wrong path. We don't need to kill the past. And I know that people have said that they gave that line to the villain. But that is what they're trying to do. They're trying to kill the past because they want to grow it for the future. They want to merchandise it. And instead of continuing the story, they want to rewrite the story. They want to recontextualize the story. And for me, that's just never going to fly. I am an original trilogy lover of Star Wars. That's where I feel most comfortable. That's the tone and the spirit that I think is the great is part of the greatest generation of Star Wars, the original trilogy. And am I biased because I grew up during that time? Absolutely. But I think there are those long-term fans only because of that. There are Star Wars fans who don't love the original trilogy and they grew up later, and the prequels are their bread and butter. And there are probably young fans who never saw the prequels, never saw the original trilogy, and only have the sequel trilogy, and they probably love aspects of that. But that's my problem, is that we're not passing on the greatness of the original trilogy. We have changed it. We have recontextualized Star Wars. The storytelling is not as good. And that you may not be able to help, but I think you can. I think instead of hiring people at Lucasfilm who meet this diversity quota, and not that diversity is bad, I'm just saying that I don't think they're getting hired based on talent. I think they're getting hired because they adhere to the ideals of Disney and Lucasfilm going forward, and you know, being where it is in the country, in a very liberal section of the country, I think they're detached from what American values are. And I know there's America is not in Star Wars, right? But there is a lot. If you analyze it against the Nazis, you know, the good guys are supposed to be the rebels, and I know that the rebels, even in Andor and Rogue One, they did bad things, right? In the service of, but I just think there's a way to tell that story, and I just don't like the way it's being told by Disney and Lucasfilm.
This is the way.
Okay. I'm sorry for rambling for 40 minutes, and I'm not going to edit myself in this case. I'm just going to let this thing fly. I'm going to clean up the audio a little bit, and then I'm just going to let this podcast air for Star Wars Podcast Day 2024. And the next episode 151, will probably be the February news update for 2024. And you can expect a mention about Carl Weathers passing in that one. Also Gina Carano's legal fight that has come to light. But for this Star Wars Podcast Day, I hope I've given you a little bit of insight into how This Is the Way podcast started. Obviously, the name came from the third episode. I tried to get I Have Spoken, and someone beat me to it. And so the next week, the minute, and I stayed up late into the night, the minute This Is the Way was on the screen, I registered that name. So that's how This Is the Way podcast got the name, is that I registered the name. I registered for social media, everything with This Is the Way podcast as soon as I could, after that first utterance of the phrase in season one of The Mandalorian. So that is why we have This Is the Way podcast as our name. And I know a lot of other people really value that phrase, and we do too. I do too, because of the association with in Christianity, with Jesus being the way and the truth and the life. And I hope I have a lot of Christian viewers. And if not, maybe you want to hear a little bit more about that. Like I said, go back and listen to earlier in this podcast when I talk about Alistair Begg and Dr. David Jeremiah, and listen to some of those podcasts, and maybe your heart will be softened to Christ in that way as well. That is, I think, going forward, my only goal is to, you know, honor God with every podcast that I do. And I know I don't get very religious here, but I do really hope that someone out there has heard my podcasts and heard the very few times I've brought up Christianity or religion. If that leads you down the right path, the true path, then fantastic. Then this has all been worth it, right? That's all for today's special episode for Star Wars Podcast Day 2024. I'm your host, Steve Lascalzo, and this is the way. May the Force be with you, always.